You have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Psalm chapter 31 and verse 8, a word for us pro-life Christians, Psalm chapter 31 and verse 8. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Let's pray. Lord, just thank you that your word tells us over and over again how precious innocent human life is, and how precious especially is innocent, unborn human life. Just thank you, Lord, that you've given us a standard that we can stand on and act from. I pray you just remind us this morning, Lord, how incredible you have put us together, Lord, in our mother's wombs, and how much we as Christians need to be taking a stand for the unborn. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. State Representative Brian Sims from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, is rabid pro-abortion. So much, he even volunteers to escort pregnant women into the Planned Parenthood clinic there in Philadelphia to get abortions. Past all the Christians who stand outside on the sidewalk praying and offering to help any of those women who may want to keep their baby. Well, last May the 4th, Brian Sims showed up at that clinic and videotaped himself going off on a 76-year-old Christian woman who was praying on the sidewalk. And this is what it looked like.
About Planned Parenthood shaming people for something that they have a constitutional right to do. Huh? If you're here about the children, you can pray at home for children. It's probably the same place that you could feed a child. But you're not. Instead, you're out here shaming people for something that they have a constitutional right to do. Who'd have thought that an old white lady would be out in front of a Planned Parenthood telling people what's right for their bodies? Shame on you. Shame on you for hiding your face at the same time that you're shaming other people. Again, the same laws that protect me protect you, and that's okay. You're allowed to be out here. That doesn't mean that you have a moral right to be out here. Shame on you. What you're doing here is disgusting. This is wrong. You have no business being out here. Hi, everybody. Thank you for being here. Yep. Disgusting. So, do me a favor, please. If you're watching this, Planned Parenthood of Southeastern Pennsylvania is one of the most heavily protested Planned Parenthoods in the country, and they deserve your support. These are the kind of attacks that we can expect on Planned Parenthoods in the current administration. Shame on you, ma'am, for standing out here thinking you know what's going
on. See, it's okay to kill a baby, but it's wrong to protest it. Now, that woman wasn't harassing anybody. She wasn't screaming at anybody through a bullhorn or lobbing Molotov cocktails. All she was doing was exercising her First Amendment constitutional rights, standing on the sidewalk, praying. And he bullied and intimidated and did everything he possibly could to get her to run away. Exactly the same things that pro-abortionists are trying to do to us Christians today. And how are we Christians supposed to respond to it? The text we have in front of us this morning gives us the answer. We turn today to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And folks, if there was ever a time when we Christians needed wisdom on what to do with this whole abortion debate that is raging again in America today, it's right now. Our text this morning, Psalm chapter 31, verse 8, tells us three things that we need to do about abortion today to expand the kingdom and also to defend innocent unborn babies who cannot defend themselves. Let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do about abortion is we need to wise up. We need to wise up and understand how we got to where we are with abortion today. Now, abortion is obviously wrong because it takes an innocent human life. Bill Nye, the fake science guy, said this, "Calling a fetus a baby and a person is not established science, just religious rhetoric." But no. Harvard medical professor Melanie Madsen, who is not a Christian, said this, "It is scientifically correct to say that individual human life begins long before we're born or even considered viable outside the womb. It is established scientific fact that life begins at conception, and the developing human is always a member of our species at every stage of development." So folks, obviously, that is not just a gob of tissue or a pork tenderloin. That's a baby, and just as much a person at conception as it is at 9 months along. And that's why the Bible tells us that life begins at conception. Psalm chapter 51, verse 6. And that to destroy an innocent unborn life is murder. Exodus chapter 23, verse 7. The 14th Amendment to the Constitution tells us that abortion is wrong. Because as a person, a baby deserves equal protection under the law. Abortion is murder, people, plain and simple. And that's why, before 1973, every single state had all kinds of restrictions on abortion. And 10 states had outlawed it altogether. But then that Supreme Court case, Roe versus Wade, in 1973, legalized abortion in every state up to the third trimester. And then Casey versus Planned Parenthood in 1992 legalized abortion in every state, all during 9 months of pregnancy. And they allowed the states to regulate their own abortion practices. But too many states took that ruling and used it to eliminate all kinds of restrictions on abortion, even late-term and partial birth abortions. But folks, Roe versus Wade that started it all is horrible, horrible law because it denied that the baby is a person. And it used imaginary language in the Constitution and so-called penumbras and emanations and Mickey Mantle's on-base percentage in the month of April to create somehow a woman's so-called right to have an abortion. Even though the Constitution doesn't even mention the word abortion one single time. Judges are supposed to read law, not read things into the law. But that's exactly what happened in Roe versus Wade. And Roe versus Wade also allowed abortion for the life and the health of the mother, which came to mean anything from bad grades to a bad hair day, whatever reason at all, the woman didn't want to keep the baby. And even more, Roe versus Wade violates the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, the sovereign right of states to make their own law. So constitutionally anyway, that is where abortion should be decided, on a state-by-state basis. Well, Kevin, Roe versus Wade, it's just the law of the land. No, it's the lie of the land. And bad law always produces bad results. 61 million dead babies since 1973. And because President Donald Trump said he wanted to see Roe versus Wade overturned, all kinds of states have gotten even more bloodthirsty with their abortion laws. Last February, the legislature in New York made it legal to kill third trimester babies up to the very nanosecond that they're born. And after that ruling passed, the lawmakers high-fived each other and lit up the World Trade Center in Planned Parenthood pink to celebrate it. Then, Virginia Governor Ralph Northam said that a woman had the right to kill her baby even after the baby was born. That's infanticide, people! God help us. But see, if you can kill a baby before it's born, why can't you kill it after it's born? And then Vermont and Rhode Island passed laws to, quote, enshrine a woman's constitutional right to have an abortion. What? What? Remember when abortion was a sad choice and a difficult option? Well, forget that, because today they're hallowed fundamental human rights. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and the right of a woman to offer baby. And we ought to celebrate that with fireworks and ticker tape parades. Because even though our founding fathers never once used the word abortion in any of our founding documents, liberals somehow did a Vulcan mind meld 250 years in the past and determined that's exactly what Thomas Jefferson meant. So you don't have a constitutional right to own a gun or to have free speech or religious freedom, and yet a woman has an unconstitutional right to kill a baby. That whirring sound you hear is our founding fathers spinning in their grave. And then just this past week, liberal Democrats and do-nothing Republicans passed that radical abortion bill in the state of Illinois under cover of darkness the night before Memorial Day. A bill that does this, declares that no fetus has any independent rights under the law, removes the ban on late-term and partial birth abortions, legalizes abortion up to the moment of birth, requires all health insurance policies to cover abortion costs, even churches and religious organizations, and allows minor girls to get abortions without parents' permission and without parents even being notified. So right now in Illinois, a 13-year-old girl cannot get her ears pierced without her parents' permission, but that same 13-year-old girl can get an abortion and kill a baby without her parents knowing about it at all. Governor J.B. Pritzker said he wanted to make Illinois the abortion capital of the United States. And brother, he got his wish. Now, in response to that kind of insanity, other states have passed laws restricting abortion, hoping that the Supreme Court is going to pick up those laws and overturn Roe versus Wade. So last April the 30th, Alabama outlawed all abortions in that state after conception, unless a woman's life truly, honestly, seriously is in danger. Then Georgia banned all abortions after 6 weeks and a detectable heartbeat. And then Kentucky, Ohio, Missouri, Mississippi, and Louisiana did exactly the same thing. And you know why? Because all innocent human life is precious. And those laws are trying to say that innocent, unborn human life is precious too. See, abortion may still be legal, but we still do have a right to try to regulate it. Christians, abortion may still be legal, but we still have the right to protest it. Even though some people don't seem to realize that. 22-year-old Austin Beagle is a pro-life activist with a group called Created Equal. Taken from that phrase in our founding documents that says all people are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And when applied to an unborn baby, means the unborn baby has a right to live too. Well, Austin Beagle does demonstrations on college campuses all across the United States, exercising his constitutional First Amendment right, standing there holding a sign and having polite conversations with any students who come up to him and talk to him about abortion. Well, last May the 4th, he was doing his thing at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill when a sophomore girl came up to him, stole his sign, and then walked away with it. And then this is what happened.
What is the sign? This says, no warning. Ma'am, don't steal the sign. You can't steal the sign. You're on camera stealing a sign. Sam! Officer, she's stealing a sign. Ma'am, you're about to walk right into a police officer who you're committing theft right now. Don't throw it over. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Still a sign.
I just moved it.
You just did what?
I just moved it.
You just moved it. So you took it. Okay. Who was holding it?
Me. She just ripped it out of my camera. She just ripped it out of my hand.
She just ripped it out of your hand?
Yes.
Why'd you rip it out of his hand?
Because this restricts women's rights.
Restricts women's rights?
He's
Could you get her off her sign, please?
On college campus.
Okay.
Where I go.
Can you get off her sign for your damaging property? Okay.
I can't believe y'all protested.
No, you're not going anywhere. Right now you're being detained. Okay.
Detained for what?
Larceny? You stole his sign.
He has it back.
Okay, yeah, because I got it from you.
I moved it 50 yards.
I don't care if you moved it 1 foot. You don't have a right to take someone's property, okay? Period. I don't care what the circumstance is. You don't have a right to take anyone's property. He was holding it. Therefore, it was his. And you took it. Okay? I know you may not agree with what's being said, but you don't have a right to take someone's property. Period. Okay? 1-16-16.
That girl was arrested for larceny. Did you notice she was complaining that he was restricting women's rights? What did she think she was doing to his rights when she stole his sign? Too many young people today need a remedial class on First Amendment because they've got this silly idea the U.S. Constitution guarantees them the right to do whatever they like, but keeps other people from doing anything they don't like or disagree with. And if they do, they've got the right to break the law and shut them down. Well, guess again. Even though abortion is legal, it doesn't mean that it's right. And it doesn't mean that we Christians don't still have the right to protest it in any way, shape, or form that God leads us to. The first thing we need to do about abortion today, we need to wise up. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do about abortion today. We not only need to wise up, we also need to speak up about what abortion really is. Because the babies can't speak themselves. And believe you me, the pro-abortionists aren't hesitating to speak up at all. Right now there's an activist named Amelia Bono who runs a blog called Shout Your Abortion, where women talk about how proud they are of killing their babies. And on a YouTube channel called Hi Ho Kids, she hosts a video series called Kids Meet Someone Who Had an Abortion, where she tells them that having an abortion is just like going to the dentist. And that abortion is all a part of God's plan. People, that's sick. Christians, don't tell me that we don't need to speak up. We need to speak up because pro-abortionist people are constantly spinning and twisting what abortion really is. Otherwise, they'd never be able to stomach it themselves. Notice not one single time do they ever, ever use the word baby. It's fetus. Or embryo, or fertilized egg, or POC, product of conception, or clump of cells. You know on Facebook, when a couple finds out they're pregnant, and they want to announce it, have you ever seen on Facebook them announce it by saying, hey everybody, we're having a clump of cells? No, it's a baby, folks. Hillary Clinton said it's not a person, it's just a potential. And you know why they say that? Because if you tell yourself over and over again, an unborn baby is not really a human being, it's a lot easier to kill it. So they crush them, and burn them, and fry them, and behead them, and suction them apart, and rip them to pieces, and drown them in saline solution. And they call that women's reproductive health care. Because it's always, always, always only about the women. A woman's right to choose. No, it's a baby's right to live. The Supreme Court may have given you a license to kill, but it doesn't mean it's right. President Abraham Lincoln said this, there is no law that gives me the right to do something that's wrong. You know why they never ever actually use the word baby? Because the baby is always absolutely the last possible thing in their mind. Always. Abortion is not a right. It is not a choice. It's a dead baby. Because that's what abortion is. It's a dead baby. We need to speak up, Christians, because they cannot speak up for themselves. We need to speak up because abortionists lie. And the pro-abortion people lie about everything in order to protect abortion. And they have no qualms at all about doing it. They do it with their PR. My body, my choice. No, it's not your body because your body does not have two heads and four arms and four legs. It's a baby's body too. And unless you were raped, you did have a choice. Well, you still had your clothes on. An abortion is a decision between a woman and her doctor. No, us taxpayers too, because we have to pay for it. Years ago, Sue and I tried to have children. And we had to stop when we couldn't afford the fertility treatments anymore. Other people aren't forced to pay to help you have a baby, so why should other people be forced to pay to help you kill one? What in the world is wrong with this picture? Well, pro-lifers are fighting the war on women. Planned Parenthood, the largest provider of abortions in America, kill 1,232 baby girls every single day. 450,000 baby girls every single year. Who's fighting the war on women? And how many women have actually died? Because I know how many babies have actually died. 61 million since 1973. So I think the babies are getting the worst of it. War on women, my eye. It's a war on babies. Well, late-term abortions are necessary to save the life of a mother. You tell me one, even one late-term abortion that was ever done to save the life of a mother. If a late-term pregnancy is truly threatening a mom, instead of killing the baby, you deliver it by C-section and let the baby live. Mom's okay, the baby's okay, and all is good. See, the dirty little secret is 98.5% of all abortions in America today are not done for the life of the mother. 98.5% of all abortions in America today are done for the sake of convenience, simply because the baby is not wanted. And late-term abortions are no different. Well, abortion is the compassionate choice. Really. Justin Bieber's mother was given that choice. Tim Tebow's mother was given that choice. Steve Jobs' biological mother was told that was the choice she should make. Thank God they had enough real compassion to give birth to their kids instead of killing them. And in what sick, twisted world is murder considered compassion? The Alabama law was passed by 25 white men, so pro-lifers are racist. Are you kidding me? Margaret Sanger, who started Planned Parenthood back in the 1930s, started that organization with the purpose of using it to exterminate African Americans because she was into eugenics and one of the biggest racists on the planet. That's why today 80% of all Planned Parenthood clinics are located purposefully in black neighborhoods. Planned Parenthood kills 900 black babies every single day. And Planned Parenthood exterminates just even more African Americans in 2 weeks than were lynched during the time after the Civil War until now. And to this day, black women have an abortion rate 4 times higher than white women. Abortion is the best friend that a racist ever had. And then, of course, the abortionists will say, well, what about cases of rape and incest? Now, a woman gets pregnant because of rape, greater than 1 out of 10,000 chances. And 98.5% of all abortions in America have absolutely nothing to do with rape at all. They're just trying to get you to contradict your stand and depict you like some kind of a jerk. How in the world can you not care about that poor 12-year-old girl that was raped by her stepfather? How heartless can you Christians be? That's when we need to speak up and ask them, how can you not care about an unborn baby who is executed for a crime that their father committed and not them? What's fair about that? And funny thing, study after study proves over and over and over again 80% of all girls and women who get raped and who get pregnant because of, they don't want to have an abortion. Because they realize it's not the baby's fault. And they realize the baby didn't do anything to deserve to die. And they realize that abortion is going to do nothing but compound the misery. And that's not Kevin Garner saying that. That woman right there is saying that. Elizabeth Young from Columbus, Ohio, who has a ministry to girls and women who have been raped by members of their own family. At 14 years old, she was raped by an alcoholic stepdad. This is what she said. At first, I considered abortion, but then I changed my mind and chose motherhood, and I have never regretted it. My beautiful daughter is also the daughter of the man who violated my virtue and brutally stole my innocence. But I realized two wrongs don't make a right. The rape already made me a victim, and an abortion would have just compounded the misery. Giving birth was actually healing to me, and a baby is still a baby, no matter how it's conceived. My baby was not the residue of my rapist. She was my daughter. And today, I can't imagine not having her in my life. Other women need to make their own decision, but I want to tell them this. When it comes to your children, it doesn't matter how they began. The only thing that matters is what they become. And you know why she can say that? Because when you have an abortion, you have no idea, no idea who it is that you're really aborting. Back in 1767 in Bonn, Germany, a man named Johann married a woman named Maria. He was a singer in the court of Cologne and taught music lessons on the side. And even though they were really poor, And even though he had syphilis from previous relationships with other women, and even though she had tuberculosis, they started having children. First one was born blind. The second one died. The third one was born deaf. The fourth one had tuberculosis. So one dead and three with terminal illnesses. And then to make matters worse, Maria got raped by a man whose face she never saw, and she got pregnant. And because the rape was so horrible, and because the family was so poor, and because the couple was so sick, and because every one of the children that they had had up to that point had been born with one foot in the grave, baby number five had abortion written all over it. And Johann and Maria thought about aborting that baby, which in 18th century Germany would have meant the mother chewing on roots from a cedar tree, because then that was known to cause pregnant women to have a miscarriage. But then their pastor told them if they would just trust that baby to the Lord, he would bring something good out of the situation. So Johann and Maria had a decision to make. And people listening to this sermon right now, let me ask you, if you were in that situation, what would you have done? Would you have had an abortion if you were in their shoes? And if any of you said yes, congratulations, you just killed Ludwig von Beethoven, the greatest pianist who ever lived and one of the greatest musical composers in the history of the whole wide world. And even though his birth defect finally did catch up to him when it turned him stone deaf at age 41, billions of people all around the world have been blessed and touched by his music for the glory of God. Now, don't anybody get me wrong. Rape is an absolutely horrific thing that nobody should ever have to experience. And what Beethoven's parents did takes really, really, really super duper big faith. But you know why it turned out like it did? Because even what people mean for evil, God can use for something good as a witness to the entire world. There's people listening to the sermon right now. Maybe you're carrying a baby that you didn't plan on or that you didn't want. Listen to me. God can bring something good out of any situation there is. I don't care how horrible that situation may be, if you're willing to let Him do it. The second thing that we need to do about abortion today, we need to speak up and tell people that. We go on in this text, we see a third thing we need to do about abortion today. We not only need to wise up, we not only need to speak up, but third, we need to reach out. Christians, we need to reach out to the other side. But we need to do it with grace, because it's really hard. And especially with all the attacks against us. Last March, that movie Unplanned came out in theaters about the abortion industry. And that clinic worker named Abby Johnson, who got saved and came to Christ and became a pro-life activist. But even though that movie didn't have any cussing or nudity or sex in it, Hollywood still gave it an R rating, which meant most teenagers would never see it. And they only allowed previews for that movie to be run before other R-rated movies. And Fox Network was the only TV network that would advertise it on television. And strangely enough, mysteriously enough, that movie's Twitter account got dismantled the opening weekend of that movie. And they lost tons of fantastic PR on social media. See the attacks? Hollywood actress Alyssa Milano told the people of Georgia Hollywood was going to boycott their state if they didn't stop fighting the war on women. Harvey Weinstein, the Me Too movement that started in Hollywood, in California, I think Hollywood's fighting the real war on women. And Melissa Milano needs to clean up her own house before she worries about the state of Georgia clear across the other side of the country. And even though the media tells us over and over again about all the pro-life protesters who supposedly go postal, what about what the pro-death people do? How they beat up the Christian demonstrators and steal and damage their property? What about what they did to Jim Pulliam? Christian pro-life demonstrator holding up a sign in front of a high school at a pro-life rally, Oswego, Michigan. Pro-abortionist came up, pulled out a .38 and shot him and killed him on the spot. How many of you heard one thing about that, even one thing in the media? Of course not. But Christians, we still need to reach out with grace. We need to reach out because of the mind-numbed attitudes. All over America now, pro-abortionist women are dressing up like the women they see in that Hulu show, Handmaid's Tale, saying that any restriction on abortion is subjugating women and stripping them of their rights and forcing them to have babies, just like the women on the show. But there's some of those women listening to the sermon right now. I got to tell you, with all the love I can muster, it's really hard to take you serious while you're wearing those Halloween costumes. Because Handmaid's Tale is only a TV show. And America is not Gilead. And the torture porn you see in that show is not happening in real life. But there is a real reason why you are so dedicated to something as barbaric as abortion that you worship it like the Holy Grail. So what is it? Did you get raped? Or molested? Or abused? Or disrespected by some guy? And that's what's making you paranoid about having your rights taken away by a man? Did you have a baby years ago yourself and you've got this idea that it ruined your life? Did you have an abortion and this is your way of trying to convince yourself that it's okay? Whatever the reason is, you got to get into some counseling and deal with those issues and then come back into reality with the rest of us and start realizing this whole abortion thing is not just about you, it's about babies. We've got to reach out. We've got to reach out to the girls and the women who've had the abortions. All you Handmaid's Tale women, have you ever actually dealt with a girl or a woman who's actually had one of those abortions that you praise to the hilt and defend with your life? Because Sue and I have. Too many of them. And the guilt. And the regret. And the nightmares. And the suicidal thoughts because they know that deep down inside they've done something that was wrong. Rapper Cardi B said this, "I had an abortion when I was 17 years old, and it was the biggest mistake of my entire life, and all these years I'm still suffering from the effects of it." See, abortion not only destroys babies, it also destroys the girls and the women who have the abortions, sometimes for many, many years to come. And you running around in your little Red Riding Hood outfits is not going to set them free. The only thing that will is forgiveness from God through grace and the cross of Jesus Christ. Last May the 4th, Focus on the Family held a pro-life rally in Times Square in New York City. Talk about going into the belly of the beast. And they did a live ultrasound to show everybody it really is a baby in there. And they had all kinds of Christian speakers who had been forgiven of the sin of abortion. And Focus on the Family didn't do that to condemn anybody. They did it to show grace, to reach out with the grace of Jesus Christ. And Christians, we need to do exactly the same thing. There's all kinds of ways that we can reach out. We can talk to people. We can pray with them. We can counsel with them. We can adopt those babies that the moms and dads don't want. You can do a walk for life like they did for the PIC Center in Aurora last Friday. You can give money to Hope Life Center in Ottawa or Under His Wings or support Illinois Citizens for Life. I could go on and on. Because Christians, even though abortion is still legal, we can still convince girls and women to keep their babies and to help take care of them and to help raise them up. We need to reach out. We need to reach out to the people who are pushing abortion. Now, I don't want to burst anybody's bubble here this morning, but don't get too excited about Roe versus Wade being overturned in America. That would be an answer to my prayer too. But even if the Supreme Court ever did take up Roe versus Wade, Justice John Roberts and Justice Brett Kavanaugh have already shown they like to side with liberals and follow precedents. And even if Roe versus Wade did get overturned, the issue would still go right back to the individual states where it was before. And too many states today are still too solid blue pro-abortion. So we need to keep reaching out. We need to reach out to the people who are pushing abortion because they're going to be judged for it. We will never forget 61 million dead babies. And you know what? God won't forget that either. Because their innocent blood cries up to Him from the ground. Democrat Representative Kelly Cassidy from Illinois is a lesbian. who pushes every kind of culture-destroying, pro-gay, pro-abortion, pro-death legislation in Illinois that you can think of. And last Tuesday, after she manipulated through that radical abortion bill, she said this: "I want to serve notice on all of our surrounding states with conservative abortion laws. The war on women will not be fought in Illinois, not on my watch." You know what Kelly Cassidy's biggest problem is? She's not a Christian. She's not saved. And because of that, she doesn't think right and she doesn't act right. And because of that, that woman has rivers of innocent blood on her hands. And yet, the blood of Jesus Christ could wash away every single drop of it if she would just turn to Him. And there's other people listening to this sermon right now. Jesus Christ will do exactly the same thing for you. Listen to me. If you've ever had an abortion, if you've ever forced a wife or a girlfriend or a daughter or a granddaughter to have an abortion, if you've ever performed abortions, if you've ever assisted in abortions by being an assistant at a clinic, if you've ever pushed abortion legislation that has killed babies and destroyed women, I've got to tell you, you've got blood on your hands too. But the blood of Jesus Christ can set you free as well. But you've got to reach out to Him. You reach out to Him right now, because right now He's reaching out to you. And you tell Him everything you did. And you tell Him right now how sorry you are for doing it. And you trust Him as your Savior and put your faith in what He did for you in the cross. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. There is forgiveness for abortion through simple faith in Jesus Christ. We need to reach out. We need to reach out because every single life that we can save is so precious. I don't care what kind of shape that life may be in. Back in 1997, Marvin and April Hoot from Woodburn, Indiana, had already raised all three of their biological kids when their Catholic priest told them God wasn't finished with them being parents yet. So they prayed about it, and God started leading them to adopt handicapped children from overseas, three from Russia and two from China, with all kinds of special needs and birth defects. And then one day, while they were watching another adoption agency video, they saw a little two-year-old boy named Nick, who had been born in Siberia, Russia, in 1996. 24-year-old mother had gotten pregnant with him, didn't want him, so 24 weeks along, she had an abortion. But he survived it. So she immediately put him up for adoption. And what that couple noticed about Nick right away is that he didn't have any legs below the knees. And didn't have any fingers on each hand. And you know why? Because during the abortion procedure, the abortion doctor had ripped off those parts of his legs and all of his fingers. Kind of gives you a whole brand new perspective on abortion, doesn't it? See, personal freedom is a wonderful thing, but at the cost of the physical suffering and damage to another human being? Talk about a woman's right to choose. What choice did that little boy have? See, a woman's choice has consequences. He had to live out the consequences of her choice every single day for the rest of his life. Well, Marvin and April Hoot took one look at that little boy and decided that was the next one that God wanted them to adopt. So just before Christmas, 1998, they brought him home and he joined the family too. But folks, as young as that little boy was, he was bound and determined he was not going to be a victim. So when he got his first set of legs, fake legs, Christmas 1998, they came with a miniature walker. He took one look at that, threw it aside, put the legs on, pulled himself up using furniture. 2 days he was walking, 2 weeks he was running. And he never let anything stop him. Growing up, that kid worked his tail off, played every sport, even stole home to win a championship baseball game. But his favorite sport was wrestling. And his last 3 years of high school, even without legs, he went to the state championships. And his senior year, he got third place in the 113-pound class. He never let anything stop him. And when his legs would start hurting him, he would just push through it because he believed and knew that Jesus Christ had a purpose for his life. Now, did he ever be upset because of what happened to him? Of course he was. He always wondered why his mom didn't want him and why his mom took the next step and tried to kill him. and wondered what his life would have been like if he'd had real legs and real fingers. And he was always mad about the millions of other babies who get aborted who should have been born like he was. But today, Nick Hoot has perfect peace in Jesus Christ. He's a professional landscaper. He coaches wrestling in middle school, and he takes every opportunity he gets to tell people about Jesus. This is what he said. I consider myself a miracle. Everybody has barriers in life they have to overcome. My barriers just started even before I was born. But I just thank God that He let me survive, and He's used me to be a witness to so many people that life is precious, and we all need to live for Jesus to make it worthwhile. And if God can do a miracle with me, why can't He do a miracle with any other unborn baby? I am living proof that all life matters. There's Christians sitting in this church right now listening to this message. Let me ask you. About unborn babies up until the time they're born, then we don't care about them at all. There's parents listening to this sermon right now. Maybe God is calling you to adopt a child like Nick. Because God has a plan for their life too. And God also has a plan to prepare the hearts of parents like us to adopt them. Because no matter what shape that life is in, every life is precious. Every life matters. One of the biggest mysteries in the Christian church today, why don't evangelical Christians do something more about abortion? Why don't the reborn do more to help the unborn? Every 25 seconds now in America, another baby dies from abortion, which means 771 of them have already been killed today since we all got out of bed. 377,000 so far this year. So Christians, this preacher included, what are we doing about it? What are we trying to do to stop it? The number of abortions in America is going down. The number of abortion clinics in America is going down. People, we are winning this war. But the question is, how many more babies are going to die before it's finally over? And if Jesus doesn't come back for a really long time, and one day our grandkids look back and see that there was a point in American history where 61 million babies were dead because of abortion, and your grandkids ask you, what did you do about it? What did you do to try to stop it? What are you going to tell them? And even more importantly, that day when we stand before the Master and He asks every single one of us, why didn't we do something to stop it? What are we going to tell Him? Speak up and defend those who cannot speak up and defend themselves. Let's pray. Lord, there are so many things in our lives. There are so many things in this world. There are so many things in the church that we have to do. Lord, I pray that we would just not put pro-life as one of those on the list. Lord, it's got to be at the top. Lord, it is a fundamental issue. Life itself, the most precious gift that You can give us next to life in Jesus. I pray, Lord, every single one of us in our families, our relatives, our neighborhoods, our schools, the place that we work, we have an opportunity, Lord, to speak up for life, to put an arm around somebody, to mention grace, to say that there's forgiveness, to save a life. I pray, Lord, You just open our eyes to the opportunities that are there. Put the words in our mouth. Give us the strength to do it. All these things we ask in Your name, and thank You. Amen.